Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of Living Life, a Life You. I am your host, Dr. Veronica Garcia, and today we are joined by a professor who actually taught me a few labs here and there. Dr. Parton, how are you?
Good, you're dating me some little bit. You're doing very well, thank you.
No, never. I would never do that. Well, thank you for taking some time of your really busy schedule to be with us.
Glad to.
And you are a professor in the chiropractic program specifically, correct?
In the anatomy and physiology.
And anatomy and physiology.
In the chiropractic program, in College of Chiropractic, I guess, is how we're categorized.
Nice. So you do teach anatomy. Mm-hmm. Talk to me. I heard that you started teaching at the university before you graduated as a chiropractor.
Yeah, my last year or so, Dr. Rumpf had actually asked me if they were looking for some help, a little shorthanded, like mm-hmm. always, mm-hmm. and we're looking for someone who had some experience working with this kind of material, and so I said, yeah, sure, why not? So my last two quarters, I ended up teaching gross dissection courses, I think, mm-hmm. some of the courses you took, musculoskeletal gross,
yep.
visceral anatomy gross.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very challenging because I was having to manage a full-time course load, see patients in the clinic, plus I was covering essentially a full-time course load as an instructor, too. So I kind of hustled a little bit.
My goodness. And we complain now. Jeez. That's amazing.
I complained about it, too, but nobody cared.
Yeah. If we complain, it only satisfies ourselves. That's it. So talk to me about, I guess, that challenge or that benefit of being part of the faculty at the university while still being a student. How did that relationship with your classmates kind of, if changed, if any?
Not much, because by that point, as you know, mm-hmm. the last couple of quarters, you're doing as much of your own thing as you are in classes together, especially back then. We only had a couple of classes at that point. We were all in clinics, so you're mm-hmm. going and coming. You'd see each other passing in the hallways. That's mm-hmm. what's done. Of course, obviously, none of my classmates were students of mine at that point because, well, this would have been, I guess, 11th, 12th quarter, somewhere along those lines.
Yeah.
They had long since taken gross anatomy and passed the part one of the national boards and all mm-hmm. that. So I wasn't really seeing them in that kind of situation again. So we were just seeing each other in class or passing each other in the clinic, that sort of thing.
So for those who don't know yet, part of the program, you take your basic sciences first right now, and part of your basic sciences is your anatomy. Therefore, it's year one, year two, one and a half, mm-hmm. maybe two, more detailed, like CNS, PNS.
Gotcha.
But you're done with your anatomies within the first year and a half. So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now. You're part of the team of the Anatomage Lab. And what is Anatomage?
Anatomage is a virtual dissection table. It was designed initially about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And they spent about 10 years perfecting it because they were kind of inventing the wheel as they went.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to figure out how to do this. Mm-hmm. And so what they have done, I know there's some other anatomy programs out there that are for iPads, that sort of stuff, but those are all digital renderings. Essentially, the Netter Atlas put in digital format.
Yeah.
What these folks did were they actually took real cadavers,
okay,
and they sliced them. It was really crazy. I watched a video the last time I was out there at one of their user group meetings. Watch how they did this. They took slices of this thing and took individual photographs of like 10,000 slices of these cadavers.
Really?
The computer technology merged them together. And then they created these digital renderings of the real cadaver. These folks have real pathologies, some
uh-huh.
of them, not all of them, but have real pathologies, have real, we get a brief case, like an abbreviated case history from them. So we have a little bit about what went on with them before. And then, of course, we kind of identify some, obviously, as we go with them as well. But what we can see that the iPad apps don't really have is that we can see the different variations from one person to the next.
Right, right.
We have two male, two female. We have coming in about a week mm-hmm. a fourth cadaver, a male cadaver, and we also have a pregnant female giving birth.
Wait, what?
Yes. We have a pregnant female cadaver now. The pregnancy portion of that was not an aborted fetus or anything like that. That was an artist rendering. But they've taken the same lady, and they have actually made her give birth.
Huh.
And that's kind of interesting. I saw it back in July out in California at their user meeting. And it was really interesting. Now, it's not all the gory details and all that, but it gives you an idea of how the baby turns. And I know some chiropractors like to think about doing Webster Technique.
Yeah.
And that's part of what Webster Technique does, is address helping the baby get in the proper position for birth.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be kind of interesting to someone who wants to really be involved with that.
That's really exciting.
Now, what's really neat with the pregnant, we also have separate controls for the pregnant mother and the fetus. So we can actually control them separately. We can look at the differences. I believe the fetus is 31 weeks old that we have now.
Wow.
So we can see all the differences in the skeletal system between adults and fetuses and how the growth plates are still forming and everything. They actually set up so that you can see those differently in different colors.
Wow. I am in such shock because this is so extraordinary. For my brain is just going a million times an hour right now with so many questions. So Anatomash is a table.
Yes.
That it's a digital table. It has cadavers. You can choose between cadaver 1, 2, 3, 4, I guess, being some female, some male.
Yes.
And now we have a new version.
Absolutely.
That is a female that is pregnant, 31-week fetus.
Yes.
And you're able to see the insides, the anatomy, the composition of that body through a digital table.
And we have a physiology mode where we can actually monitor fetal and maternal heart rate and see how things change between the two. How the mother's heart rate will go up, how the fetus's heart rate will go. Of course, you know, fetus's heart rate is going to be considerably higher than an adult female is, hopefully anyway. And so you're able to see that difference. You can see the blood moving through the veins. You can actually watch the hearts beat separately. So you can see how the blood makes its way through the individual chambers of the heart, through all the different valves, and then out through the vessels.
I need to come play for a little bit.
Please do.
Please. This is so exciting. Because when I was, and I was talking to Dr. Parton before we started recording, when I was a student at Life University, I was right in the transition of, I had some classes in cadaver, I had some classes in models, I had a few classes, just my last one of anatomy was with the Anatomash table. So I got to have a taste of it, but not really fully explore it yet. And it sounds like it's gone just the whole other way. And it's so interesting.
You were using probably version 3. I'm going to upgrade the tables to version 10 next week.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just amazing what they, once they figured out the process, I guess it's not hard to keep applying it, reapplying it, reapplying it. They actually have, in the last couple of versions we got, and especially this new one, they actually have different animals. They have chickens and cows and dogs and pigs, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
So we can do comparative anatomy, how are we similar or how are we different from these different animals? As you know, being a chiropractor, all mammals have 7 cervical vertebrae. So we can look at the differences between our 7 cervical vertebrae and their 7 cervical vertebrae.
Yes.
And it's surprisingly the same.
Huh.
And the biggest thing is that they don't have a clavicle, most of them, because they're quadrupeds.
Right.
But it's surprisingly similar in stature and how they're done.
That is so interesting. And that's going to be also a great resource for those chiropractors that want to do animal care, that want to do veterinary care itself.
Exactly.
That's such a huge resource for
them.
Wow. You know, something that I used to think about when we transferred into the Anatomash tables, because I had, of course, as we were going through the transition, I got to hear, you know, all the whispers of my classmates, of the pros, the cons, and whatnot. But I used to always think, I'm like, this is such a great transition when we go into digital, because once I make a cut in a cadaver, there's no undo.
Exactly.
There's no going back. That sciatic nerve is cut. It's done. The cadaver is done, right, for that specific nerve.
Absolutely.
So I love that. I love that about the Anatomash table. There's like, okay, you have, I remember that there was a setting kind of like a scalpel. Right? And then you could still cut through it. But if you cut accidentally wrong, then just click on
the undo button and you're right back where you started. Absolutely.
That's so amazing.
Absolutely.
That is so amazing.
Plus, we don't have all the stuff we had to deal with the cadavers, as you know.
The smell.
The smell and all the other things that went along with the cadavers. So yeah, we don't have to deal with that anymore. And you know, we're not training surgeons.
Yeah.
So this is a great tool. Since we're not having to worry about teaching someone surgical techniques, this is a great tool. And we can take this tool, and we can show you on the cadavers, on the tables, and then we can simply turn around, okay, partner up with your neighbor and now let's feel these muscles, feel how these muscles work, what they do, how they do it. Mm-hmm. Have the patient, if you will, go through different motions, and they can say, okay, now we're looking at the flexor digitorum superficialis in the forearms.
Right.
Now we have you flex the fingers. Now they feel they've seen it. And they're flexing the fingers. Plus, you have more of a consistency there. So you remember the cadaver lab. Each one of them could be terribly different depending upon how they were dissected, or maybe if they'd started to deteriorate a little. Not to get too gory, but deteriorate a little bit. This we don't have that.
Yeah.
Every time we hit the button, it's the same thing.
That's amazing. What would you say are some of the, I guess, challenges that you've experienced students now, that the students that have had that Adamash like over and over, maybe some of those challenges and some of those benefits that they've experienced besides, I love the benefit of being able to see it on the cadaver, touch it, and then doing the motion into your partner to feel it, because that's what we're doing as chiropractors. We're feeling for things.
Absolutely.
But what would be some then of those challenges?
Well, I want to start with the benefits first. And we'll talk about the challenges.
Let's do it.
The challenges would be that, you're not holding a real cadaver in your hand, but you don't need to do that. You're a chiropractor. But what we have now, remember when you'd come into open lab and you'd be like, okay, what did Dr. Partner, what did Dr. Ruff talk about? Did he show us how to show? See, now we can save our weekly lessons, and they're all saved on the cadaver, on the tables. And they can actually pull up the cadaver rendering and look at what we just went over. And it's all right there digital, so they can go through what we did. Plus, we have a self-test module, so they can actually test themselves. How much of this do we know? How much do we not know? Where do we need to spend our time focused on studying?
Game changer.
And so that takes out a lot of that. Hopefully, won't eliminate me one of these days.
Hopefully.
But no, it takes out some of the, I guess, I don't say the guesswork, but some of the maybe uncertainty. Because you remember your first time you came into open lab, you didn't know where to start.
Yeah.
Neither did anybody else.
Absolutely.
But and see, with these younger generation too, they grew up with all these digital devices. Using an iPad or a digital touchscreen device for them is nothing new. I mean, they've been doing it for the most part as long as they've been able to talk and walk.
Yeah.
So this is nothing new, like going into the dissection lab and having to get out a scalpel and a pair of scissors and a probe.
The gloves and
the masks in some cases. And so, you know, that takes out all of that. So now you can concentrate on just learning the material.
Yeah.
You take out all of these extraneous factors, and that's just gone now.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
And as far as drawbacks go, I mean, rather than maybe just not having the experience of having touched a cadaver, which most people can probably live without that.
agree.
But other than that, I can't really see any drawback to doing that at all.
Yeah, and there is still a possibility, at least for us continuing education seminars, that you can take where there are cadavers. So if you still wanted that experience, it's still available to you.
Absolutely, yes.
That's amazing.
I don't know that we're doing any of those here, but certainly other places.
Absolutely.
That opportunity. We actually did some, Dr. Ashapour and I, before he retired, did a little bit of research with this and found that we appeared to see the student outcomes actually went up using the Natamosh table as opposed to the cadavers, because here again we take out everything except, okay, we need to learn this material, we need to know where it's at. We took out all the gloves and all the scalpels and all that kind of stuff. So we saw an increase in student outcomes. So I think going forward, these things are all over the world now.
Yeah.
They have, Gwinnett County High School has 10. Cobb County High School has 3.
Oh, wow.
Paulding County High School has 1, I believe, right now. And they're probably getting a second. So these things are even making their way down to the secondary school level.
Wow.
Certainly, community colleges, four-year school programs, everywhere now.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's a state-of-the-art technology that allows learning just to exceed. I would have loved to have had a lot more of those classes, which means why now I'm going to go get some playtime over there, because now I don't get tested now. Exactly. Well, Dr. Forden, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your dedication to making the Adamash Lab happen at Life University and to taking care of those tables, because as we know, yes, technology is amazing, but there's always a brain behind it that helps them do their daily updates.
Thank you for saying that.
Of course,
I'm
of course.
Kind of a little concerned I may not have a job in 10 years.
No, no, we still need you to push that button for updates. Don't worry about it. Well, I will vouch for you.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
If I can do anything else for you in the future, please don't hesitate to ask.
Thank you. I really appreciate you. Thanks, and thank you guys for joining us on another episode of Living Life, a Life You. Have a beautiful day. Bye.